We are now at the entrance of the church. When you go inside, the first thing you are blessed with is the sight of a late 14th century wall painting of St. Christopher crossing a river with a Christ child on his shoulder. At his feet is water and a fish. The legend says that he was a big, strong man, but nearly brought down by the weight of the child who was carrying the sins of the world. Seeing St. Christopher will bring you good luck and protection for the rest of the day. You see, there is cunning in my plan to bring you here. I am indeed an excellent guide. At the end of the day, you may wish to reflect on St. Christopher's protection. To help with that, a reconstruction of the wall painting in all its glorious colour can be seen on the app. Inside the church, look out for the table tombs round the altar. There's one for my son, John Paston I, who carried on my husband's tradition of the law and estate building and married another great heiress, Margaret Maltby Paston. The tomb of my other son is shamefully unmarked now. He was buried at Bromholm Priory in 1466 with great pomp and ceremony. But after the dissolution of the monasteries in the 16th century, his body was moved here, God forbid. Moving on to a more cheerful subject, I challenge you to look at the pew's end as you explore the church. One features our Paston family coat of arms, a griffin, and another, a devil sticking out his tongue, which I always like to think about when speaking to my neighbours. Our Paston family's importance grew well beyond my day. Triumphing against the Tudor upheavals, I am glad to say, on your left, in the chancel, you can see early 17th century memorials to Paston family members by Nicholas Stone, the master sculptor of King Charles I, no less. There you will find a life-size figure of Lady Catherine Paston, who died in 1628, with an inscription, possibly by the great poet John Donne, who was the Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Can you read the inscription? Not that she needeth monument of stone for her well-gotten fame to rest upon, but this was reared to testify that she lives in their loves that yet surviving be. For unto virtue, who first raised her name, she left the preservation of the same. And to posterity remain it shall, when marble monuments decay shall all. I love it, as it reminds me that it is thanks to the many letters I, my son, my grandsons, and daughter-in-law Margaret wrote that have preserved our legacy for future generations when we have long departed this world. Please, explore the church for yourself. I will wait here for you and we'll continue our chat when you come out of the church.